Blog Talk Radio.
You ask me why I love her? Well, give me time. I'll explain.
You ask me why I love her? Well, give me time, and I'll explain. They help downtrodden people when the storm clouds bring the rain. They bring relief and rescue no matter what the price. They take your hand, they understand. They bring the love of Jesus Christ. They come along beside you, they understand your grief. For the Lord himself comes with them as their commander-in-chief. They stand with you and beside you in your storm's darkest night. They bring you hope amidst the ruin. Such are these men called knights. And they will stay right with you till the sun brightens the sky, so you can live because they give.
Beneath God's wide, wide sky.
Are these men who appear in tuxedos once in a while, but most of the time are in street clothes, giving aid and comfort to people in need? Find out this Friday and every Friday night at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as Deeper Truth presents These Men Called Knights, an in-depth examination of the Knights of Columbus and their role in the church. Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender, and Bruce Willis, Grand Knight in the St. John Paul Council in Olathe, Kansas, answer your questions about this unique group of Catholic men and their role in the church. That's Friday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, for These Men Called Knights, a Deeper Truth original.
Welcome to Deeper Truth. These Men They Called Knights, Volume 4, with my co-host, Bruce Willard, and also Mike from New Jersey is with us, and this should be good tonight. As always, this is a Deeper Truth. We like to think that these are all good. So here we go. And before I bring Bruce on, I got a couple of things that I would share here real quick. And Pope Leo XIII, he had this to say. Back in 1903, he said this to say, and I quote, "To recoil before an enemy, or to keep silence when from all sides such clamors are raised against truth, is the part of a man either devoid of character, or who entertains doubts as truth of what he professes to believe. The only ones who win when Christians stay quiet are the enemies of truth. The silence of Catholics is particularly disturbing, because frequently a few bold words would have vanquished the false ideas." And so Pope Leo XIII is very clear the importance of giving witness to the truth. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so the truth is not subject to the human will, but is the height the human will reaches towards. Peter gives this explanation, "But sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that asks you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that wherein you are spoken against, they may be put to shame who revile your good manner of life in Christ." And so, St. Jude goes one step farther, giving foundation for Pope Leo XIII's point. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, and then Pope St. Pius X, 1914, he was the successor to Pope Leo XIII, when one day he was talking to a group of his cardinals, he posed this question to them: what is the need today to save society? And the group of cardinals began to deliberate this question. One responded, build Catholic schools. Another one cried out, build more churches. And yet another answered, speed up the recruiting of priests. Pope St. Pius X took the opportunity to say, no, the most necessary thing of all at this time is for every parish to possess a group of laymen who will be at the same time virtuous, enlightened, resolute, truly apostolic. And so he must have had the future Knights of Columbus in mind for this. And so a news release that was put out by the Knights of Columbus recently from the Marius poll, and it basically said that the Knights of Columbus reveals, their poll reveals that 69% of Americans support limiting abortions to at most the first 3 months of pregnancy. And this survey conducted by the Marius poll and commissioned annually by the Knights of Columbus also found that 91% of Americans support pregnancy resource centers, which offer support to mothers during their pregnancy and after their baby is born. And so then additionally, the poll found that 60% of respondents oppose using tax dollars for abortion services and domestically, and 78% oppose funding abortion service abroad. And nearly 7 in 10 Americans believe abortion should be limited. And so after a year of contentious public debate over the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision, the results are comparable to the findings of a Knights of Columbus Marius poll conducted this last January. And so since the start of the Knights of Columbus Marius poll in 2008, we've seen a consistent and clear consensus of Americans who support restrictions on abortion, said Knights of Columbus Supreme Knight Patrick Kelly, in which he says, likewise, an overwhelming majority of people, 90% this year, believe that our laws can protect both the mother and her unborn child. And so too often the abortion debate is framed in the context of supporting either one or the other. And so the reality is, we can and must craft laws that protect both mothers and their children. And so at this point in time, I'll bring on Bruce.
Here?
Bruce, what do you think about that or about this?
Well, I start with, of course, I respect the Pope and his inspiration, but whether he actually had the Knights in mind or not, I would stand ready to be convinced of that. But I think his foresight and true understanding of society and the church and the direction that society was moving, especially in the late 1800s, early 1900s, he knew that there was a need, and that there was a need for laymen to be, you know, part more than just members of the church, but part of the church.
Well, I think where I'm coming from with the Pope there was that he had a vision of every parish having men that was apostolic and faith-filled. And I don't know of any other institution other than the Knights of Columbus, the strong right arm of the church, that can be anywhere close to resembling what he was thinking. And so if there's any other, I would be certainly I'd be interested to look into.
You are right. The Knights of Columbus are about as close as you can get to his vision. The Knights were definitely the right arm of the church, you know, acting on and before, you know, on behalf of the priests, the parishes, your missions, not just in, you know, accommodating and funding the desires of the parish, but really, you know, orchestrating and organizing and demonstrating for the parish and setting examples for the, you know, for the other men, for the youth of the organization, and by being actively involving the women of the organization too. So you're right. The Knights are definitely more than just the right hand of the Pope and the Church. I mean, the Knights are the active ingredient in accomplishing goals to set the souls in the right direction.
And that's huge from a cultural perspective, from an individual perspective, and from a family perspective. Like last week, we were talking about the importance of men leading their families and the importance and how that is important for their children. And so, so the Knights, they do a lot in all of this. We'll bring in Mike. Mike, what do you think about all of this?
Well, I'm listening to you talking about Pope Leo XIII, and his encyclical might have been part of the inspiration for Father McGivney founding the Knights of Columbus.
Maybe so.
You know, that's a possibility.
And that makes sense.
But there's something else I have off the top of my head, and that is we want to make sure that your grand night guest, your second commentator there, knows that he is part of the Deeper Truth family.
Definitely.
Well, not only that, but he's related to all of us. Because the way I look at it, you're like a cousin, Bruce.
Cousin Bruce! Cousin Bruce!
Now, I'll tell you where that came from. There is a disc jockey in New York City, WABC, named Bruce Morrow. And he was very popular from the 1960s and 70s, but he's still at it today. He's in his 80s, and he goes by Cousin Bruce. He is Bruce Morrow in New York. That's who made that. That's how that shout and that jingle came about. The jingle was made up for him by the Four Seasons, but that's where that came from. But welcome to the family of Deeper Truth, Cousin Bruce.
Well, thank you. So, I occasionally get called Cousin Brucey by a coworker from New York that loved that program.
Oh, really?
So nobody else in the Midwest gets who Cousin Brucey is, but I do.
That's hilarious.
I'll have to send you a copy of this somehow.
that would be good. I would use that as a ringtone. So
there you go. I got to figure
you might
out
be
how to
able
make
to sell
how to make
that
a
as a ringtone. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But we can, and I generally will use this one on Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender. Well, he stands out in any crowd because he's. Oh, wait a minute. Donald Hartley stands out in any crowd because he's
the hairy one with the big feet.
No escaping. No escaping, Donald.
Mike, you've got so many good cuts of sound. I've wondered what possessed you to save and create such a library, and how long have you been creating it, and what are your favorite soundtracks? What are your favorite clips?
Oh, that's one of them. There are some. There are some clips that are, in fact, I build on it almost every time. When you mentioned that President Reagan addressed the Knights of Columbus, I got a hold of a copy of his speech. He actually visited with the Knights twice. Once was in 1982, in August of 1982, August 3rd, he appeared in person. And in 1986, he addressed the Knights from the Oval Office with a satellite hookup.
Wow, great. You're going to be able to share that?
And for example, just to give you an idea, this is one of the cuts. He's talking about human life.
Today we proclaim what our heritage has always maintained, that all human life is sacred.
All human life is sacred.
All human life is sacred.
In a single year of 1981, you made in charitable contributions more than $41 million. And even more important, devoted more than 10 million hours in community service. As important as your works of charity are, however, you have also maintained individually and corporately your stalwart faith in religious and family values.
Well, I've got more of these than I can play in an hour.
That's really powerful, don't you think there, Bruce?
Yes. You know, especially when you have sound bites or soundtracks of President Reagan or Governor Reagan or whatever era his life from which he was speaking, because not only was he a powerful speaker, articulate, clever, and well-spoken, but he had a way of delivering the message that was just well received. And because it was so simple and true, you know, and not whitewashed, it was just basic, clever examples that everybody could understand him. And they called him the great communicator because he really was.
This is what he said about the debate on when life begins.
A Senate committee hearing was held recently to determine if we can when life actually begins. And there was exhaustive testimony of experts presenting both views. And finally, the result was declared inconclusive. They couldn't arrive at an answer. Well, in my view alone, they did arrive at an answer. An answer that justifies the proposed legislation. If it's true we don't know when the unborn becomes a human life, then we have to opt in favor that it is a human life until someone proves it.
Amen. One thing about him is that President Reagan made sense.
Yes, he did.
I'd like to talk about the Fatima children. I thought what he said about that was very interesting. And I'm wondering that before he died, if he did not convert to the Catholic faith, much in the same way that George Washington did before he died. That would be amazing if we were able to find that out. But the way he spoke about the Fatima children makes me wonder. That would be interesting if he did. I mean, you know, it would be hard for me to understand how someone could know this and not convert, especially from the character he had, you know. So it would make sense to me that he would convert at least internally before he died, knowing this. So I would like to think that anybody would, just because of heaven's revelation, divine revelation, which Fatima is, you know, just amazing when you think about Our Lady appearing there and all the happenings and events that took place at Fatima. And for him to recognize the children of Fatima and the way he expressed it, well, I can't help but think of a potential conversion there. Internally,
well,
anyway, nothing else. Now, if you got that available there, because there might be somebody sitting on the edge of their seat hearing what I just said and thinking, really? I mean, maybe. I mean,
You're talking about this clip right here.
This belief in human dignity suggests the final truth upon which democracy is based. A belief that human beings are not just another part of the material universe, not just mere bundles of atoms. We believe in another dimension, a spiritual side to man. We find a transcendent source for our claims to human freedom, our suggestion that inalienable rights come from one greater than ourselves. No one has done more to remind the world of the truth of human dignity, as well as the truth that peace and justice begins with each of us, than the special man who came to Portugal a few years ago after a terrible attempt on his life. He came here to Fatima, the site of your great religious shrine, to fulfill his special devotion to Mary, to plead for forgiveness and compassion among men, to pray for peace and the recognition of human dignity throughout the world. When I met Pope John Paul II a year ago in Alaska, I thanked him for his life and his apostolate, and I dared to suggest to him the example of men like himself, and in the prayers of simple people everywhere, simple people like the children of Fatima, there resides more power than in all the great armies and statesmen of the world.
Bruce, what do you think of that? Bruce, you there? I still have you, Bruce. How about you, Mike? What do you think of that?
I'm here.
Or am I?
You think we'll be on
Bruce,
call
you there?
Bruce?
No, he's still in the. He's still in the.
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. I was just wondering if what you thought about what President Reagan said about the Fatima children.
Well, I think the president has a lot of insight into not just Catholicism, but Christianity and trust in the Lord.
And he didn't have no issue of talking about Mary either, and the Pope. So
he was not afraid. Not afraid to speak about religion in public. Of course, Christianity wasn't bullied into a corner, you know, when he was president either, though. So, you know, speaking of Christianity didn't make him a bigot or a racist, you know, or get him canceled during the years that he was president. But all the same, he still received pushback and resistance, you know, by talking about Christianity, especially where, you know, you didn't speak of Christianity and, you know, as a public officer. So he did go out on a limb.
Yeah, he did. He did. And he stood for something. He stood for America. And the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
And that's
and they
that's
say if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. He knew how to stand for what he believed, and he knew he was raised right. And if you look at the parts he played in his old movies, you know, he generally had a strong character, you know, a strong backbone. And that stood out as unique, even during his days of candidacy during the 70s and 80s. You know, today to find a bold, opinionated person that has some, that is very practical, really puts that person as it perceived as an outsider, an outlier, and is degraded by the public and try to be ostracized by the media.
Well, we definitely need another Ronald Reagan, that's for sure, I think. I think we do.
We desperately need another one.
And I think President Trump, you know, he fits the bill, but we need somebody coming around in 2024, definitely for sure. We need to be able to stand up for our Constitution and for religious freedom. That's what we need to stand up for right now, and that's why we need to be. What are these candidates going to be? What do they represent? Our Constitution or socialism and communism? See, that's the serious thing that we're having to deal with right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what makes this November very, very frightening. And I think that's another reason why the Knights of Columbus...
You've got this guy, and I hope he doesn't get any power or any power at all.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste.
Never miss an opportunity to cash in on a crisis. Yeah, well, Don, I can see why your show's called the Deeper Truth. Because you do dig in deep, and you test those deeper topics.
This is my pro-life commercial.
Life.
Accessible. The treasure beyond all of it.
I'm not sure what that was. I didn't really hear that much, Mike.
It belongs to the world. Everybody in it.
Bruce, if you heard a baby cry in that little commercial, that wasn't just off a sound effects record. That was with the actual first cries of my daughter.
Oh, wow. Unfortunately, we couldn't hear the audio on that.
Hmm.
But those are wonderful sounds, aren't they?
Oh, you're breaking up, my friend.
I am.
Well, you're loud and clear. It's Bruce who's breaking up.
I heard it pretty good. I hear you there.
Yeah, I heard him a little bit better there myself.
I was just saying that we couldn't hear your audio there. Just a couple of.
Okay.
But I was saying that the first cries of a baby, that is a beautiful sound, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what we're pro-life. I see every child
we're
a gift.
We're pro-life as far as you can get.
Yeah.
Mike, what's the most impactful or the most prominent earliest audio tape that you have that's the most profound that has real meaning or message to it in your library?
You shouldn't ask him that there, Bruce. He's got Elmer Fudd.
I'll pull some of those. I got a cartoon clip library where I've got Bugs Bunny saying, "What's up, Doc?" and Daffy Duck, "What a revolting development that is," or "This is." But here's President Reagan talking to the Knights of Columbus about the fact that the abortion debate belongs in a public forum.
Respect for human life belongs in the public realm. Indeed, it represents the very basis of civilization.
I definitely agree with that 100%.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Let's see if I can find that. It doesn't take, I've got a program here where it doesn't take me very long to find stuff.
Wow. And Bruce, you said that your daughter's home from, is she home from college for just this, coming weekend, or is she back for a while, or what's the situation with her?
Well, she's off for a week of spring break. So we're
spring break.
A little vacation and give her a chance to recharge, but I think she's planning most of her time behind books and preparing for returning midterms, so I guess she's going to have to balance her time. But it's nice to have her home. We're empty nesters, so it's beautiful to have your daughter come home over spring break.
Oh, yeah, spring break. Well, I guess it's kind of Easter week, close to Easter, getting close to Easter week. I mean, used to it be, Christmas week, Christmas and then Easter, and then they tried to secularize it all so that, spring break and, they kind of, but that's kind of what it amounts to be, would be kind of like a Easter week or Easter, this time, so interesting.
They're also trying to get rid of the BC and AD. They're also trying to get rid of the designations BC and AD. BC meaning before Christ and AD meaning Anno Domini of the year of our Lord. They're trying to call it the Common Era or something. They'll get to a point where they think they've succeeded in doing all that, and then they'll realize their error.
I wonder, we should have tried and left it out, but
Albuquerque? Wow.
That was Bugs Bunny saying we should have turned left at Albuquerque.
Oh.
Or how about Snagglepuss?
Heavens to Murgatroyd! Heavens to Murgatroyd!
You know, if you ever got the chance, Donald, to debate a pro-abort, you might prepare for the debate by saying this.
Hey, this promises to be fun.
Wow. Well, we would certainly, if what we do can help save a child. You know, the pro-life cause.
Oh, absolutely.
I spent a lot of times out at the abortion clinic, and I would carry across what I called the Walk of Jericho. I would go around the abortionists, you know, and from there I would pray at every entrance, you know, the stations of the cross, carrying that cross. And that abortion clinic would fold. It would quit. So I think a lot of that has happened over the last couple, 3 years. And that's because people standing up. And that's what it's important. We need to be able to stand up. And that's another, I think, important need of the Knights of Columbus. I think that these knights, these men they call knights. I like your little intro that you've put together for us there, Mike, and we Jesus Christ is our commander. You know, he's our captain.
Yes, he is.
I like that. I love that. And so that is good. And, of course, you know, the Virgin Mary is our queen. Yes. She's our queen. And so, that's what I think this, and Bruce, with what we're doing, if we can inspire men, either become members of the Knights of Columbus or maybe come back to it if they had been, it's been a while that they've ever gone or participated in it. If what we do can help encourage that, then I think that's a major purpose of this. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, what we are seen doing, saying our activities are more than just an example in the local church, your homes. I mean, we're really very high profile in the community. You know, although we're in plain clothes, you know, most of the time, when we don't have our night shirts on, I think a lot of people recognize us as those that have been participating in fundraising and activity supporting the community, working at the local soup kitchen, you know, handing out clothing, feeding the hungry, serving the needs of the church. And so local prayer chains, and as you said, in front of, you know, clinics of ill repute. So I know my daughter's college has a very large Knights of Columbus community, and it's pretty much all youth, right? Because it's college, and last weekend they were out in front of a clinic, and it wasn't just the Knights; it was the Knights and the whole school, and my daughter was there also, and she.
Excellent.
They noted, you know, a little bit at a time, they're making progress and success, because, you know, when they're able to get these rallies, they do shut these clinics down. And, you know, that was the second time they've been there that they weren't open on a Saturday. So, you know, and that's their big dollar day, you know, when they do all their, make their big money from butchery. And so that's got to be very satisfying for other people outside of the Knights, you know, community and those that do respect life and understand family.
Yeah.
Well, Saint Mother Teresa had something to say about the greatest threat to peace in the world.
But I feel that the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion. Because Jesus said, if you receive a little child, you receive me. So every abortion is the denial of receiving Jesus.
And someone else had something to say about that. She was she was one of us for quite some time, and the Lord called her home. I'm talking about Judy L. Theodor, Donald. I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
This is what she said. This is the poem she presented at the last abortion clinic once it closed in the city of Beaumont, Texas.
Amazing grace bestowed to us from Christ, our sovereign King. We bow our heads in praise and thanks, our voices raised to sing, to worship you, to shout your name. From rooftops way up high, we thank thee, Lord, for this new day, for here no child shall die.
That says it all, doesn't it?
It does. Most certainly does.
Mike, your audio collection, is it just Christianity-based content?
It's mainly
history?
Well, there's other things I have in here. For example, I have the inaugural addresses and important speeches of every president since George Washington. So I could pull quotes from, let's say, George Washington or any of the presidents over something we're talking about.
And how old is your oldest audio tape? About 1860, or was you have something around
Lincoln
that time?
Lincoln was 1860. I wasn't alive, and I didn't have. I don't have George Washington on tape, but I do have people reading his speeches, and I have printed text of his speeches. The first president I have on tape, the earliest president ever recorded on tape, was Benjamin Harrison. And of course, all of the more recent ones. For example, Eisenhower. I'm putting something together that maybe we'll hear on a future edition of this program or one of the others. Just stringing together different presidents talking about the mention of God and all of that. I didn't have enough room to put that in.
Something from Nightline. As the war in Ukraine enters its second year, so does the order, spiritual, and humanitarian response. I think you asked a question about that last week, I think, Mike. So it's just, The last week, Supreme Knight Patrick Kelly urged every knight during this season of Lent to deepen his prayer, fasting, and almsgiving in support of the suffering Ukrainian people. Supreme Chaplain Archbishop William Laurie, in his January-February Columbian column, which I mentioned something of this last time as well, also observed that these traditional Lenten practices go hand in hand with the order's principles of charity, unity, and fraternity. And so I thought that, you know, this just was put out today. Well, I just received it.
Well, President Reagan mentioned the Columbia magazine.
But let me say this to you. The fact that the largest Catholic fraternal organization has spoken out strongly through your magazine, Columbia, on the morality of maintaining our strategic deterrence has been a great asset to our efforts for peace, and I thank you.
Yeah, that was really loud and clear. Did you hear that pretty good there, Bruce?
Yeah, crystal clear. Reagan knew how to ask for peace, and he often did it with prayer. Boldly yelling over brick walls and telling Gorbachev to tear down that wall, but he did it with prayer, and he mentioned prayer often in his speeches and in his meetings. And you have to really believe that some of his success was certainly drawn from the most powerful weapon that there is, and that is prayer.
And he alluded to that too.
Don, do you feel like is your most powerful prayer, your go-to when you really need the Lord? What is your most powerful prayer?
Well, right now, the rosary is the queen of devotion, so that one has a very important to me. The Stations of the Cross also, the Divine Mercy. I think that the Divine Mercy also fits right in there too. In fact, ordinarily when I do the Eucharistic Adoration, which that is important, very important to me as well. But while I'm doing Eucharistic Adoration, I will a lot of times pray the rosary and the Divine Mercy. And when we do the rosary on the radio here, we will ordinarily do both when we have done so, the rosary patrol. We would also add the Divine Mercy. And so those are kind of, especially if I had an emergency situation, family or friend or in a situation where it's bad, or it looks bad. A lot of times I will go into the hospital, to the chapel, there in the hospital chapel if there's a situation, and I will pray the rosary and the Divine Mercy for the situation. What about you, Bruce?
That's what I do. Most of my prayer life is actually in the house, but
yeah,
the community prayer for me, and you know, especially during church or mass, seems to draw me closer, you know, where I feel closer to Jesus.
Yeah, the mass.
You're right. The rosary and you know, many of the prayers that have so many of the elements of the Bible and the promises of Christ are really very powerful to me.
Yeah, the Mass. In fact, during my week, my daily devotional that I've been doing, which I'm taking the scriptures of the day, and I'm name of that particular show is coming from the Psalms Responsorial, and it's just I love that, the Psalms Responsorial, and especially here at Lent, just going over that has been a blessing to me to do that, and then the lives of the saints too. All of that is important, and so deeper truth is important to me because of what I'm able to do through it and following the lives of these saints. In fact, for Clement the First, the third pope, encouraged us to model after the saints, because if we do, we will become saints. That's what he said. I think that's interesting. I mean, it's so, and so here at Deeper Truth, we are sharing the scripture of the day and the saint of the day. And by the way, I love that, Mike, what you did for that, for the saint, you know, the saint patrol, and the way that you put, I think it flows really well. And I'm glad because when I asked you, Bruce, what you thought of it, you thought it was awesome. You thought it was good. And so I'm glad you did, because I really do like it. And but when we're sharing this with people in different lands around the world where the faith is either outlawed or persecuted. And so if they have the internet, they have the means by Deeper Truth to be able to keep up with the scripture of the day and the saint of the day through what we're doing. And that's to me a blessing. I feel a blessing as a result of that. And so I'm getting a lot of it myself.
That's one of the first items I read after I get up in the morning. I love to read the news and what's happened. And, you know, the internet is so full of information, but it's kind of nice to get to get your emails on of Deeper Truth. It's got the saint of the day and the history and links to other saints. So it's always very satisfying and very pleasant way to start your day, as opposed to just the regular freak news channel.
Yeah.
President Reagan also showed off his sense of humor when he appeared before the Knights of Columbus. He actually appeared twice. This would be at the 1982, August the 3rd of 1982, when he said this.
I want to begin by saying how grateful I am that you've asked me here to participate in the celebration of the 100th anniversary of the Knights of Columbus. Now, it isn't true that I was present at the first anniversary.
There were already wisecracks being made about his age, so that's how he came back.
That's awesome.
Go ahead.
I liked his little thing that he said with Mondale. That about his age, he said, because of his youth. I love that. That was awesome.
I know what you're talking about. Let's see if I have it. I have it, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I have it readily available.
But that was classic, and I think that won in the debate.
That was classic. That won in the debate.
Yeah, and so I've been, as we're talking now, I've been kind of promoting this show that we're doing now live around the world. And, man, I'm getting a lot of responses of people sending me hearts and thumbs up and everything else. I love that. Amens. And so the Knights of Columbus. And so that's we want to promote and support traditional family. And that's what, in fact, we mentioned, in fact, I mentioned it at the meeting last night about America Needs Fatima. And we're getting ready to, for that this next coming October. And that will be our second annual now rally there at the Olathe. That's the court. I keep thinking courthouse, or you know what that is. So I'm looking forward to that opportunity, and so and I think it's just a good thing for us to do, and throughout the country, 20,000 plus rallies all over the country, standing up for family values and traditional family. And that's and we need to stand up for children, pro-life, and the rosary. So that's what it's all about right there.
Now this is another piece that that I got in 1988. It's the opening invocation to the 1988 Texas State Democrat Convention. They haven't even got the Trinity right.
Mother of wisdom, Father of light, Spirit of love, fall afresh upon the hearts and the minds of our world.
How's that for a strange Trinity?
Yeah. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what I proclaim, every day now, what I've been in putting out. And some of these, if you, O Lord, mark inequities, who can stand? Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. A heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. From all their distress, God's rescue the just. Oh, that is just so good. I love that. What I've got going on here. And then I believe that your divine Son became man and died for our sins, and that he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe these and all the truths which the Holy Catholic Church teaches, because you have revealed them, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. Oh, that is, I just love that. And so that's, you know, and that's the Catholic Church right there. Well, Bruce, we're about ready to rock and roll. Do you happen to have any last thoughts that you would like to for until next week?
I think if you think about how to help mankind in the bigger picture, remember that it all starts at home, and it's the little picture, the little things that we do, those for whom we're praying, you know, those that that need help. And as Reagan was such a elegant speaker, you know, he called on God's help to help him there. And I think we should just all try to remember that in our daily lives and go about and need help here and there, but to remember that we're an example for many, both at home and out in public.
Amen to that. Definitely. Mike, what do you think? What, do you have any last thought?
Well, I think we need to face head on the fact that we're marching in the wrong direction. We need to change drummers.
Well, I do agree. In fact, 2024 is...
God makes everything simple.
Yes. And I will be starting hopefully tomorrow with my flag detail, which I promised President Trump that I would go 800 miles on foot doing my flag detail. And I will start into it again. tomorrow.
You take care of yourself.
That is a, yes, I'm working on that.
How many miles do you have on your boot?
800 right now.
800.
But now I'm, but I plan on trying to go as far as I can before October, and I think I can go a good ways, a long ways still, and get the message out there. And people who see those flags, because I carry the Old Glory and Trump flag, Trump Make America Great Again, 2024. And then on my, that's my right hand. And then my left hand, I've got St. Michael, the Archangel flag, which is awesome. And then the Kansas City Chiefs. Go Chiefs. So, but that's okay.
You're the spot, Ron.
So, but I mean, if it's bad weather out there, I'm kind of not prone to go out there because I don't want to get sick or flu-ish or anything like that. So I'm trying to keep
No, you don't
want to healthy.
Do that.
But if it's in the 60s, that's not so bad. But today it was cold. It was cold last night. You know, after we left that meeting last night there, Bruce, it was cold out there. So I'm hoping that.
Hopefully this weekend will treat you a little bit better. The weather's supposed to be a little bit nicer.
And I'll be out there. And I'll be out there. And I tell you, with that road work that they're doing on Main Street here, I get a lot of, there's a lot of people that, you know, and I get the vast majority support what I'm doing. And that's good. Every now and then I get a finger, if you know what I mean. But that's okay. That just inspires me all the more.
Well, tomorrow should be, in this area, should be almost 70 degrees.
Oh, gosh. Well, then I'll be out there.
Yeah, and then a little bit of a cold, wet front, you know, for, you know, several days, maybe a week, something like that. But you should have some nice treading weather to put some more miles on those boots of yours.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But we're at this time, and so tomorrow night at the same bat time and same bat station, we'll be doing with Representative Bruce Sutton. He'll be coming on doing our political night, which we'll be talking more about America First and the importance of that and why it's important for us to be involved in the local voting for our local offices. And you know, that's very important to us, and we need to do that. School boards and all that is very important to get involved in all that. Know what they're telling and teaching our children. No, gosh, yeah, that's very important. And so that's tomorrow night. And then Sunday night's the Journey with Mary. And that's very interesting always. And then Monday night coming up is Eucharistic Miracles. And so all of this is very important and very, and we hope that people enjoy these and get something from them. And that's what our hope is that people will grow and grow stronger in their holy Catholic faith. Because when they hear these truths, hopefully it's kind of sinks in a little bit, you know? So, all right, Bruce and Mike, thank you both. Thank you, Bruce. Outstanding. Great show.
On Deeper Truth.
Yes. And thank you, guys. I'm going to end with this song here, which I will be playing tomorrow with the show that I'll be putting out in the morning. So with that, I'll see everybody tomorrow night at beginning at 8 o'clock Central. And I'm sure, you know, Mike will be here. And I know, Bruce, if you know, you're always invited, always. But I know if people don't know Bruce like I do, he is a man with a mission. He's always on the go. And so that's always good. So thank you, Bruce, for taking some time out to be with us and and everything, and just tell your family that we say hi and that we're glad your daughter's home and get a good break. That's good. And tell her I'm proud of her. She stood and she prayed at the abortion clinic. That is fantastic. That's awesome. So just say thank you for us, would you?
Well, it's people like you that set the example, and you're making a giant impact on a new generation of Americans, and that might be our salvation, you know, for while
we're at least on
the big blue marble.
Amen. Well, God bless you, Bruce. God bless you, Mike, and you too. God bless you both, and we're a team. We're a team here.
And God
and that
bless
is
you,
so
and God
good.
Bless you too, Donald. Don't forget yourself.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm looking at it. Yes, definitely, and all of us. So God bless you, and I will end with this song, and it kind of fits with what we're doing in this season. So God bless you guys, and we'll catch you tomorrow night. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye now. Good night.
Good night. Uh-oh.
Noster quias interlis sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cedo et in terra, panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debite nostras, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos de malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri Filio Spiritui Sancto, sicut in erat et in principio et nunc et semper saecula saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patri Filii Spiritui Sancti. Amen.
Amen.
Good night, everybody, and God bless.